don't know her like I do. We took the fire escape to her room and got stone raging blind. Left my money in the trusting hands of them old steel brothers in the fast grass band. One day I'm gonna drive up there and give them half my mind. It's the wine or the coke that makes her sound like her jaw is broke. She's working hard to make some sense, but she ain't got a dime. I wish to God that I could help her out. I wish I knew what she was talking about. I wish to God that I could get away, but I'm way too drunk to drive. All I know is that when I am good and sober, Virginia for a while. Don't know why, but every time I cross that river, Lord, there's something tears me up, makes me wild.
Welcome to Violent Volumes with Dan Rice. I'm Dan Rice, and what is Violent Volumes? If you're here, I imagine you already know that I write for violentpeople.co. We have a Discord, and in the Discord, Tim of the QNTR podcast recommended that I had my articles and my writings narrated. Now, he was imagining a sort of AI voice reading it for people that don't like reading, but instead, I'm going to force you all to listen to my dulcet tones as I record myself reading these articles and then expanding upon them, touching on my inspiration, the writing process, or just going more in depth in things I couldn't leave in. Now, is this self-indulgent and navel-gazing to 3 months later go back and look on writings that I just posted? Almost certainly. Let's do it anyway. C and D Counties, published January 23rd, 2024. The time has come to see Matewan in perspective, the way we do Lexington and Gettysburg. Not just as an isolated incident of the tragic spilling of blood, but as a symbolic moment in a larger, broader, and continual historical struggle. In the words of Mingo County Miner J.B. Wiggins, the struggle for freedom and liberty. David A. Corbin. The Matewan Massacre stands as a pivotal episode within the West Virginia Coal Wars, a series of disputes and battles in the early 20th century between coal miners and the hired guns and scabs of mining companies. Eviction tore families from their home. Men and women endured brutal beatings. Millions of rounds echoed through the Blue Ridge Mountains, and a great deal of lives were tragically lost. Coal and blood. This is the legacy of Appalachian children. Soon after the supposed end of the West Virginia Coal Wars, similar issues arose in Kentucky. The ensuing hostilities left Harlan, Kentucky, with the moniker Bloody Harlan. Coal built this region, and in return, the industry chewed up the people and spit them out. This truth resonates in the region to this day, leaving scars that will never fade. This is the context and history Appalachians carried when witnessing the working-class Stone Cold Steve Austin go to war against the corrupt CEO Vince McMahon. Appalachians have waged a lifelong battle against the corporation. This is not the bureaucratic minutiae of a white-collar boss breathing down your neck, winning cover sheets for the TPS reports. This is a battle of right versus wrong, a war for the very soul of a region. The cathartic release of good triumphing over evil in pro wrestling provides an escape that many Appalachians can't find in the real world. It is my firm belief that Appalachia has a unique bond with pro wrestling, unlike any other region in the world. To live in Appalachia is to grapple with the lack of access. It's the lack of access to healthcare, education, jobs, or more importantly in this context, entertainment. Harlan, Kentucky is not getting a Taylor Swift concert. Many of my friends in Pocahontas County, West Virginia are over an hour away from a movie theater. Mainstream acts, for the most part, do not tour here. Wrestling, though. Wrestling has consistently provided a source of entertainment, escape, and camaraderie for the people of Appalachia. There were plenty of jokes and scoffs at AEW staging one of their few House Rules events in Corbin, Kentucky. A quick search of Twitter shows almost universal confusion and derision at the selection. It didn't surprise me at all. WWE and TNA have both run multiple house shows there. Corbin has a rich history of wrestling dating back to at least John Kazana, and then later Ron Fuller running Southeastern Championship Wrestling shows at the Corbin Speedway, with the likes of Ronnie Garvin, Boris Malenko, and the Mongolian Stomper. The jokes and scoffs are familiar to the hillbillies and rednecks I grew up with. A common thread between Appalachia and professional wrestling, proud but ashamed. Being the punchline of a nation is something Appalachia and professional wrestling have in common. I am proud of where I come from. I love this place and its people. I get to live with some of the kindest people on this planet and take in some of the most breathtaking landscapes you can imagine on a daily basis. I'm also ashamed. I'm ashamed of the drug epidemic. I'm ashamed of the pervasive poverty and the collective blind eye we turn towards it every day. Does that sound familiar to you? Ask a wrestling fan about their favorite match. I could talk your ear off about Wotan vs. Demus or Brian Danielson vs. Roosh. In fact, listen to the formerly known as Always Barry's Tanas, and I'll do just that. There's few things I enjoy more in this world than pro wrestling done well. Now ask me to explain whatever NXT is supposed to be. Or ask me to review a bussy match, and I'll be embarrassed beyond belief. If you ask me to reconcile spending money and enjoying an industry that profits predators like Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, I'll shrink. There's a somewhat cheesy quote Jeff Jarrett throws around a lot. For the people who believe, you don't have to explain. And for the people who don't believe, no explanation is good enough. Why cheesy and a little clunky, it fits. It works for wrestling, and it works for Appalachia. I can't count the number of times I've been asked, why'd you move back there? By and large, the people here are tired of defending themselves from stereotypes and jokes. The only question I'm sure I've been asked more than that is, you know it's fake, right? I don't feel the need to explain my love of home any more than I feel the need to explain my obsession with pro wrestling. I love where I'm from because I know what it can be at its best. I love wrestling because it can be so much more than it usually is. Wrestling is Appalachia. Wrestling was popular here during the zenith of the coal years, and as the region faced economic hardships and limited recreational options, wrestling stayed true as a form of affordable entertainment that resonated with the population. WWE has over 300 events a year, with 170 televised. We're putting them on in C and D counties, so we're really stretching the brand and amassing a greater array of eyeballs for all demos. It's good for our long-term growth. From a margin perspective, they are dilutive. There are probably opportunities as we go through our efficiencies and synergies to cut back those non-televised events, which will, of course, push our margin up. Mark Shapiro, TKO President. I cannot imagine any county in Appalachia not being a C or D county in the eyes of Mark Shapiro. WWE focusing on maximizing profits by dismissing smaller towns seems callous at best. The connection between Appalachian wrestling goes beyond dollars and cents. Cutting backs on events in this area isn't just about misentertainment. It's about severing a lifeline of shared narratives and emotional catharsis that goes back generations. I'm not claiming I understand business better than Mark Shapiro, but I understand wrestling and I understand this region better than him. It would be detrimental to both to cut out wrestling in this area. I know the joy I've seen on the faces of children go to the wrestling events here. For many, this is a birthday or Christmas present, a special occasion. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre may not be exciting for the fans of this website, but I promise it is for the people in these smaller arenas. Mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, and yes, mean old grannies. I loved going to Ring of Honor shows in its glory years. I traveled all over for Chikara shows. I was an AIW regular for years. The crowds at these shows were 95% dudes from 15 to 45. No crowds compare to the family crowds you get in this region. Running house shows in C&D counties is not without benefit to WWE. When you look at AEW's roster and the number of live events they run, it seems apparent that either the roster is too big or that some of the wrestlers are not wrestling enough. Younger talent like a Hook or an Anna Jay would almost certainly be in a better place in their career with more reps. The extra events are clearly an advantage they have over AEW. I'm not arguing for wrestlers to be on the road 365 days a year, 400 if you're Hogan flying back and forth from Japan. I fear the day that WWE leaves Appalachia and the flyover states behind. I dread a future where WWE tours the same 12 cities all year round. The territories are not coming back. 2024 wrestling is what it is. I hope for fans, wrestlers, and wrestling's sake that WWE keeps running shows all over the country. The Appalachian story is far from over. The battles for healthcare, education, and economic justice continue. As long as these battles rage, wrestling will remain a vital part of the culture, an important thread in the tapestry of our lives, a reminder that the smallest crowds can roar with the defiance of the hero overcoming the insurmountable odds. And that hope, like a wrestler kicking out at 2.9, can truly never be pinned down. So that's C&D Counties, my first piece that appeared on Violent People. Reading that was tougher than I imagined. I don't know, I've appeared on lots of podcasts and just talking's apparently way easier than rereading stuff you wrote. I'm going to use smaller words in all future articles just to save myself in violent volumes. But honestly, I think that was the third thing altogether to go up at the site. It's arguably my most well-received thing written so far for Violent People. It's either this or the Sting piece about my mother's death that I wrote. I would say that's what had the most people reaching out to me and talking to me about them. I think it's pretty obvious what make those two stand apart. They're the two most personal things I've written. I mean, that makes sense. As much as I love the Hockenschmidt in Australia piece, and I put a lot of work into that, and I'll get more into that when I do the Violent Volumes of that one, but that was a labor of love. I understand that this one can touches on the humanity in wrestling more than any of the other things I've written. Now about the inspiration or the writing of the article, it spawns from an abandoned project. Around October of last year, I started a Blogspot that nobody read. I mean, like, maybe 3-4 people read. It's embarrassing. It was called Talking Tube. Yep, I'm the guy that does Violent Volumes, Rotten Rewatch, and I wrote Talking Tube. I'm a man that likes alliteration. Basically, the goal of that was to only review YouTube matches that had 100 or 500 reviews. The first match I reviewed was Bobby Beverly versus Joshua Bishop from ACW, which is Appalachian Championship Wrestling out of West Virginia, obviously. And they had a show in July of last year. This match was on it. It's on YouTube for free. Everyone should watch it. It's a good match from a company that goes way under the radar. But I started out reviewing the match, and it pretty quickly turned into a discussion of the crowd. There was this old-fashioned, stereotypical fighting granny who was trying to knock out Bobby Beverly. She asked Josh to bring his ass over here, and she kept saying she wanted to knock him out, and she started the chant of Titty Baby, and it was amazing. It was great. And it turned into me talking about how if I'm on a wrestling show, I'd much rather be sitting next to her or family or children than the guy who discusses star ratings or has a podcast or cares about work rate or writes articles and then re-records them months later. No, I get it. Like, I'm less of a fun time at a wrestling show. I am a dork. I want to sit next to the granny. And that turned into me talking about how Appalachia is so important to me and so is pro wrestling. I'm going to read the last paragraph. Appalachia to me is the back roads, the Blue Ridge Mountain, the farms. And sadly, my family and friends have taken years off their lives with coal mines, factory work, and the drug epidemic. But it's also in a lot of ways this show. It's families. It's rowdy, matriarchal grannies. It's wrestling. And that stuck with me. And when Sam and Tanner decided to be insane and start this website, it was so obvious this should be the first thing I would write about that I had it very quickly. I think I was probably the first person to turn anything into Sam and Tanner. I was like, hey, here, take this. Because I think that I find it very important to represent not just this region, but that this area of wrestling exists. There's a tendency for us in the bubble to only care about whatever is the shiny new toy, whatever has the most eyeballs, you know. When PWG was the best indie, it didn't have the highest crowds. I don't think it had the best matches. But we all collectively decided that it's what we'd all pay attention to. But there's shows throughout the Midwest, throughout Appalachia, throughout the Southeast, which, I mean, the Southeast is getting more eyeballs now, but still, there's so many shows that when you look on YouTube that have, you know, 100, 200 views, less sometimes, and they're great matches. So between getting ignored by the smart marks and WWE flat out saying there's no money in running shows here, and there's no money running shows in the flyover states, basically, that's a lot of this country and a lot of wrestling that's being ignored. So I wanted to use whatever platform I have on Violent People and here to kind of shine a light on it. But I also wanted to make sure that when I was shining that light, I was not just showing the positives, I was showing the negatives, because that ACW match had a very terrible, dusty finish. The booker that's running shows for free outside of a BW3 in West Virginia, he's doing self-indulgent, crappy, dusty finishes too. In Appalachia, this beautiful, breathtaking landscape that I take in every day with amazing people and love, it's not just that. It's the pills. It's the coal mines. It's shining a light. It has to shine a light in the dark parts too. Because you can only change things when you shine a light. We have to point out when wrestling is bad, but maybe it'll change things. I just listened to the Eddie Kingston interview on Wrestling with the Narratives YouTube channel. And he talks about, you know, him and some other guys in the locker room listening and watching the video essays that a lot of the more prominent, not even more prominent, but more prominent in our circle, YouTubers like Joseph and people like that. And so it shows that when we take the time to write these things we write, or record these podcasts, or write these video essays, that people do care, and that I think that they do sometimes make a difference, and that they are helpful. And I'm going to keep doing this, at least if one person besides Tim listens to it and enjoys it, because I enjoyed this. If you're listening to this, I've started doing the Rotten Rewatch, where I go week by week. Every Thursday, I'm posting a new one where I'm watching a IWA Mid-South show that's on IWTV. I'm probably guessing that at least the third one's up by the time this goes out. And I'm on the fifth show, so I have a little bit of a head start. And if anyone has suggestions on what they want to see me write about, or has anything they'd like to write about, I'd love to help you get it up on the site. And if anyone has any suggestions on how I could do this differently, if anyone knows how to record intros, like music or whatever, and they wanted to do that, I'd probably be willing to pay something for that. This is fun, and I want to keep doing this. The website's violentpeople.co. Reach out to me either in the Discord, on Twitter. I'm at DanRiceVP. Pretty easy to get a hold of, and I just think this whole thing, the site, the Discord, the formerly known as Always Very Tanners, this have been so much fun, and I'm enjoying wrestling now more than I ever have. So thanks for listening.
God make coal for the men who sold their lives to West Van Leer. And you keep on digging till you get down there where it's darker than your darkest fears. And that woman in the kitchen, she keeps on cooking, but she ain't had meat in years. You just live off bread, live off hope and a pool of a million tears. Now let me tell you something about the gospel, and make sure that you mark it down. When God spoke out, let there be light, he put the first of us in the ground. And we'll keep on digging till the coming of the Lord and Gabriel's trumpet sounds. 'Cause if you ain't mining for the company, boy, there ain't much in this town. We could have made something of ourselves out there if we'd listened to the folks that knew that coal is gonna bury you. Darker than a dungeon, and it's deeper than a well. So sometimes I imagine that I'm getting pretty close to hell. And in my darkest hour, I cry out to the Lord. He says, keep on a mining, boy, 'cause that's why you were born. Could have made something of ourselves out there if we'd listened to the folks that knew that coal.